I have no idea.
That's what your answer was the last time I remember.
I know that if an attorney's last name is Barr, I don't hire him.
Now, Henry Hyde, you talk about Henry Hyde. You talk about Henry Hyde, G.
Henry Hyde is in charge of the House Judiciary. See, Bob Barr is on that committee, and it would have to come through Henry Hyde to release any kind of impeachment proceedings. That's why we need to contact both. Jeff, I think it's very interesting because you had talked about Henry Hyde's name coming up, and then Jeff did also mention something about Henry Hyde. So could you go into a little bit of detail about that? And before you do, I will just say this thing too also. If people are calling, they might ask the House Oversight Committee to have Jack Thompson, who ran against Stan and Reno, have Jack Thompson be there in House hearings about Stan and Reno. Clearly, I'm sure you said this many times, you know, that Janet said, I have no evidence. And, you know, you both said that. There's plenty of evidence, it's just that we're not hearing about it, they're not letting it out. So I'd appreciate what you can talk about, Henry Hyde. And have you heard anything about PsyCorps?
No.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, I'll try to find some information out. And do you have anything on Orrin Hatch in the Senate Judiciary, who would also be the other side and the impeachment proceedings? We'll have to start in the House and it would go over to the Senate.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
Anything else, Steve?
That's it.
Okay, we'll talk about Henry Hyde and Orrin Hatch.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Skip, you talked about Henry Hyde before. You want to give us a little summary?
Henry Hyde is the financier for the One World Order. He oversees the black funding for it. So I don't know what the American Heritage River Initiative is all about, but I suspect I know what's sitting in there. And if I'm correct, then Mr. Hyde will do nothing to stop this from going forward.
That's a quick break, folks. Wake up, America. Wake up. Hey. Back to my guest today, 25-year CIA deep cover agent, Chip Tatum. Henry Hyde, of course, is a congressman from Illinois, and you say he's in charge of the black ops. You want to explain to the public the difference between the black ops and legitimate so-called operations?
Well, yeah, and you have covert operations, which are run through the House, funded through the Oversight Committee and through federal funding. Those operations, which are covert operations, are sanctioned by the United States and by our government. However, operations that are not sanctioned that take place are called black operations, and Ollie North was very eloquent in his explanation of black operations when he explained that he was told to build an enterprise, make it self-sustaining. That way they didn't have to worry about funding for anything. That enterprise, those wheels have been built, the wagons are rolling, and they're full of cash. And they need someone to oversee the dispersing this cash for operations that are not sanctioned by our government, but provided by U.S. intelligence officers, and that's a black operation.
And Henry Hyde is in charge of that?
And Henry Hyde sees to it that certain things are done so that monies are dispersed, yes.
Okay, and how about Orrin Hatch? Do you know anything about Orrin Hatch?
I don't know much about Orrin Hatch. I know my wife wrote an open letter to Mr. Hatch, and I'll be happy to try to pull that out. And there was never a response. It was very simple. She asked him to look into certain things, look into the evidence that are in the Tatum Chronicles that show that North and others were involved in the manufacturing and trafficking of cocaine and brought into the United States and fed to the children of America. And she basically said that she suspects that she knows what he will do about it, but she hopes that he's man enough and not going to ignore it.
And never heard a response?
Never responded.
How long ago did you write the letter?
Over a year ago.
Well, maybe he's backed up on his mail.
A big inbox.
Yes, a large inbox. Okay. Chip, I'd like to have you repeat very briefly what you told us in the first hour for the benefit of our new audience about your new information on the Oklahoma City bombing.
Sure, Ted. In the first hour, we talked about a message that came to me through our Project Integrity. This message is from a foreign intelligence officer from German intelligence. He stated basically that in 1994 he received, or they interdicted a 350-gram shipment of weapons-grade plutonium bound for the United States, bound for a place called Elohim City. The man who was to receive that shipment was a U.S. and German intelligence officer serving both masters, reporting to both masters, and his name was Andreas Strassmeier. this intelligence officer lost his job over intervening and taking this plutonium. He was discredited, and it was done so by a good friend, Chancellor, and Helmut Kohl himself was a relation of Strassmeyer. I think it was his father.
And plutonium, of course, is used in nuclear weapons.
It's a weapons-grade plutonium that's used in nuclear weapons. This amount would be a small tactical device. He did indicate that other portions of a nuclear weapon were in place and through the Soviet network initiatives on your radioactive material.
Okay, so we'll do that for another time. And, Chip, what about...
Those may be in place in the Iranian embassy in Mexico.
And he said that. Now, in the meantime, in the Gagin lawsuit in Denver, he states that he brought a detonator, bomb detonator, from the Iranian embassy in Mexico City to the airport in Stapleton Airport in Denver, Colorado. And I told you that on the first hour, and you were not aware of that, so it ties in together with your information.
It certainly does. It opens eyes on a lot of what may have gone on. What's interesting is this bomb didn't make it here because of German intelligence, and we owe a debt of gratitude to this ex-bureau chief of the BND for standing up and not allowing it to move forward.
Who is now on the unemployment line.
That's correct.
And so I think he just took her. That means somebody else couldn't have then followed up and brought some plutonium in from some other source.
You know, it's not that available. It's pretty available out of the Soviet Union, and this is where it came from, but not that available. However, money was what in the word that he said that money was no problem to anything that they needed to be shipped to this particular person. And the report is from a man named the Spaniard, where he got his who was actually being the broker on the deal, where he got his information on who it was going to.
And are you aware that Strassmeyer, in an article in the London Sunday Telegraph, by a very well-known reporter, I can't think of his name offhand, admitted to him that he was originally recruited by the Department of Justice to come to the United States to be an informant for the Department of Justice, but then in the same article he claimed that he turned them down and did not become an informant. If you believe that, you can believe I'm a New York City garbage man, by the way. any other comment? Now, I thought it was interesting, too, Chip, the information about the jail.
In Englewood, Colorado. I was arrested initially on my imprisonment in Englewood, Colorado, and held in Englewood, Colorado. That was on May 11th, 1995. That's about 3 weeks after the bombing of April 19th, 1995. While I was at Englewood, the R&D section of Englewood was immediately, construction was started, to restructure it into two high-security holding cells.
Be right back, folks. Just a minute. Chip Ochabot, that Gunnison Intelligence Report. Wake up, America. Wake up.
And now, here's Chad.
And we are back, and my guest today is Chip Taylor, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. Folks, the first series, six shows with Chip Tatum, is available, $49.95. Audio copy, second series, six shows, is available, $49.95. Transcript of the first is $29.95, and the second one, I assume, will be $29.95. So call 1-800-205-6245. Get copies of these shows, make them, and send them to your friends. Send them for Christmas presents. What a wonderful Christmas present. Educate your neighbor, educate one of your relatives. It's a tough road ahead, and we have a lot of work to do. There are enough people that do not know about this, and there's too many that don't know about it, and there's just a few of us that do. Go on back to Englewood, Chip, and talk about Englewood, the jail.
In Englewood, the jail, within 3 weeks after the bombing of Oklahoma City, a renovation project was undertaken to renovate two of the holding cells, which were just day holding cells, not living quarters, into long-term high-security facilities for the Oklahoma City bombing participants. They needed two cells for two people. When I talked to some of the correctional officers, they told me that those were for the Oklahoma City bombing participants. And they were building two cells that would house these men. Those cells were built so that they were under 24-hour vigilance or surveillance. What is very interesting is the fact that the other correctional officers said that they were ordered to start the planning and draw the plans for this and get equipment and supplies ordered 3 weeks prior to the bombing.
That is very interesting. Did these correctional officers, you had three of them, you said, that told you this.
Three separate correctional officers that were privy to the information that these high-security cells needed to be built.
And how do these correctional officers feel about the probability that the government knew in advance they were going to bomb the building?
Well, what's interesting is not only those correctional officers think that there's something up there, but correctional officers in Oklahoma City, where McVeigh and a man named Linus Avram were held, think that there's something up with this. Something's not right here, is what they all say.
Well, it's very obvious. Did they comment to you about that?
Oh, yes.
What'd they say?
Well, just basically, there's a lot more than meets the eye here.
Okay.
So.
Yes. Okay, Chip, we were cut off by a radio station in Austria here some shows ago, and you said it was about 30 minutes, I think, didn't you?
I believe it was. From what I can see, it was about a 30-minute section that was cut out.
And can we repeat what you were talking about during that 30-minute section? I'm very much of a perfectionist, and I don't want to miss any opportunity to get the word out.
Well, I believe it was the section that we were talking about, the OSGs. I would have to review that tape and come forward and see where it started and where it ended, and I'll do that for you if you want.
Okay, and then you won't have time to do that today, though, will you?
No, I don't think so, Ted.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we'll do that for another time. And, Chip, what about Satanism? Does Satanism overlap into these activities?
You know, where we use Satanism in the CIA was on the discrediting portion, when we would try to discredit someone, especially in the Catholic community. When you look at Central and South America, let's take Noriega, for example. One way to gather information and send it in, out in the field, first of all, he wasn't supposed to live. He outfoxed us on that one. He was not to be able to come forward and stand trial. He was to be killed. That's the purpose of that raid. President Bush did not want him, nor did Mr. Barr, want him to be able to come forward and tell what he knew. And I believe that once all of his appeal process is exhausted, he will come forward and he'll tell what he knows, and then people will be, well, I don't know that they'll be surprised, but I think then we'll have something to go forward with.
Think he'll live that long?
Well, he'll either live that long, or there's a good possibility he'll be allowed to leave. Who knows?
I saw a picture of his what they said was his desk when they raided his office, and there were a number of satanic emblems and symbols around, including some books. I think some books by Adolf Hitler. And the comment was made by a friend of mine that this was the same scenario, same picture of another assassination of an individual, I think down in Chile. You recall that?
Sure, and that's what we do, you know. We would put this in front of them so that even if they do get out of this, they won't have an exile in their own country, which is predominantly Catholic. We don't want them to be able to go back there and live. We want them to be banned from that country and placed in a faraway place where comforts won't be.
Time for a quick break. Be right back, folks. Wake up, America. Wake up. And we are back. I'm, I guess, today is 25-year CIA chief cover agent, Chip Tatum. And let me remind you folks that June 13th, 14th, and 15th at the Central Florida Fairgrounds, Orlando, Florida, will be the Preparedness Expo. Chip and I will be lecturing at 11 o'clock Saturday morning, which is the 14th, Orlando, Florida. So you folks in the Florida area, be sure to go up there and see us and see the other individuals. Educate yourself, buy some of that literature, send it to your friends. Also, folks, if you have difficulty paying for an attorney, you can obtain your own material and teach yourself through the Irwin Rommel School of Law. 23 years experience, they will teach you how to sue or how to defend, and they also help you with your paperwork, filing your motions, etc. So be sure to call 702-650-5676 for more details concerning the Irwin Rommel School of Law, your self-taught course, you can represent yourself in the courtroom. Okay, Chip, when I was talking about Satanism, what I was talking about was what I was referring to, did you ever see any signs of, say, MK-Ultra mind control, satanic activity within the ranks itself, or did you ever see any ceremony, hear of any ceremony?
No, none whatsoever, Ted. You know, one thing that we did for mind control within our ranks was the use of a derivative of scopolamine. And it was probably the most effective drug that I've ever seen in being able to blackmail or control a person for long periods of time.
And scopolamine could be administered through what? Through an open store?
No, actually a very light powder, because it's not scopolamine, it's called Borodenga. It's a very, very light powder. It can actually, you know, be blown into a person's face. It can be administered through a cigarette, through smoke, inhaled, or through it can be ingested. You can drug your target in any of those manners, and it's very, very effective. And I've seen it used up to a period of 3 weeks to program a person, and once they've come out of it, although they're don't remember anything that went on during the period of programming, they were very programmed at the end.
Ted, you got a caller, Dennis from Florida.
Okay, okay, hang on there, Chip, we got Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Yep, hello.
Hi, Dennis.
I'd like to know something. Why is it that the CIA, and when you were a member of that organization, why didn't you folks involve yourself in activities that were actually and really pro-American? I mean, you're talking about Black Ops, Henry Hyde being in control of it, and so on. The federal government has no business in doing things like that at all. What's the explanation for this?
I don't understand what your question is. Why
what's the explanation for them being involved in all kinds of covert activities and Black Ops and all this other crap? They're not supposed to be involved in that.
Well, we all agree with that.
Well, then let's put a stop to it. I mean, why isn't the CIA doing something about it?
Well, because CIA has been infiltrated. Do you want to handle that question, Jeff?
Well, the CIA hasn't had a leader for a very long time. The CIA, after George Bush took over as the director of Central Intelligence, has been placed in a position as a personal intelligence unit targeted to provide specific information. All of our assignments were restricted when we did get. Don't know what was used with it because we were so compartmentalized. All we know is we were gathering information. How that information was utilized at home is something that we weren't intelligence officer isn't really involved in. So the intelligence officers do think that they're gathering information. We aren't necessarily out there shooting up the world. We had specific. That's right. Your 392 form 392 that you applied for your security clearance on wouldn't have made it through. Interest. And in doing so, if that person resisted, we could use any means necessary to neutralize that person.
Including terminating the interviews with Chip Tatum.
I've been listening to several of them. I haven't caught all of them, but I that still doesn't answer my question. What in the world is an organization like the CIA? Why aren't they out there stopping the Chinese from coming in and doing things like dealing with Long Beach and renting the Long Beach Naval Shipyard? I mean, that would be a help.
Because
our
boss isn't telling
us
to do it. We can't do it without direction.
We're behind you if you do something that's to our benefit. But if you're doing a bunch of crap that we didn't even ask you to do and wouldn't approve of if we knew about it, we're not going to stand up for you if you do that.
Well, of course
who's
not,
we?
And that's what's happening, Dennis.
Yeah.
I would suggest that you call 800-205-6245. Get the first and second series of tapes, and the answer to your question is in those tapes.
I would love to, Ted, but I can't afford all that stuff. I cannot. I've got a few irons in the fire, but I'm just a poor working stiff. I don't have the money for all
Dennis,
that stuff.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I have a set of the tapes. I will personally...
I'm going to be in Orlando.
Huh?
I'm going to be in Orlando come hell or high water.
Okay, and I will personally give you a set of tapes. I'll donate it to you, okay?
Well, I'm not asking for charity.
Under one condition, Dennis, that you make copies and get it to your friends.
I'm not asking for charity, Ted, but, you know,
Dennis.
I can only do so much with my limited resources, and I'm pursuing other angles here, too, you know, survival and weaponry and so on, and that's only, we're looking at this as, you know, down the road here,
Dennis,
5 or 10 years, and, you know, we've got to do
that,
too.
We have that much time. Dennis,
okay.
The answer to this your question is the Bilderbergers, the New World Order, there's a master plan to take over the country and take over the world.
Well, I understand that, but all I'm saying is, it feels like these people are holding a hand behind our back. Have you ever seen a baseball or football team that won a game when half the players were helping the other side. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I know I don't know all the details, you know, the gory details, and I guess I'm glad I don't, but you see the way this is coming across to me, and I'm sure I'm not alone. We feel like the subversion that's going on is so extensive that what's the point in doing what they're doing? They're not really aiding the country, as far as I can tell.
Well, they're aiding the New World Order. They're not aiding the country.
Yeah, but I mean the supposed good guys, the guys wearing the white hats, are not offsetting what the guys wearing the black hats are doing. That's what I'm saying. They're not accomplishing much, if anything, to deter the people that want the New World Order to be set up.
Dennis, can I answer your question?
Yes.
This is Jeff, and I want you to listen to what I have to
call
say.
For.
Senator Barbara Mikulski, during a pre-confirmation hearing for George Tenet as the new CIA director, made a statement, and she's asked if he was prepared to usher in the new millennium and see to it that the New World Order was brought in. Our Congress tells us what to do, and we do that. You people elected the Congress.
Yeah, but you're passing the buck. They're not
I'm
all
passing
bad,
the buck. If I'm ordered to do
bad.
It, I'm going to do it.
Time for a quick break. Wake up,
Thank
America.
You.
And we are back, and my guest today is Gene Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA agent. And, folks, I'm glad to announce that I have over $1,800 that's been donated toward my campaign to write to all the ex-FBI agents. We need about 4,000. We're going to be able to send a portion of the letters out with this $1,800. It's very important because we have a number of agents out there, good men, former agents. If they knew what was going on, they would step forward like I have and try to do something about it. So send your donation today to Ted Gunderson, Post Office Box 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. Lower left-hand corner, put down FBI Project so I can keep the money straight. Hi, Jerry from Louisiana is on the line. Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Ted and Chip. You guys are great, and it's very interesting. What I'm interested in was the 3 years I was missing out of Clinton's life. What was that time frame? Was that around the time he was at Oxford and then he went to Russia?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you suppose he might have spent that time in Russia, China, and other satellite and Marxist satellite countries studying Marxism?
Jerry, I don't get into speculation. I only deal with facts. The facts are that a Secret Service agent told me this. And it's a very credible person that told me this, and the fact is three years are missing. If 3 years were missing out of my life and I applied for security clearance, I certainly wouldn't get it. So someone in high level knows where he was.
Yeah, well, I'm retired military and civil service, and I wouldn't have had the jobs I had.
That's right. Your 392, Form 392 that you applied for your security clearance on wouldn't have made it through.
That's interesting, and all we can do is speculate.
That's true.
Well, you know, it's been documented that during the Vietnam War, Clinton was in England demonstrating at the anti-American, not anti-Vietnam, but of course a combination of both, a rally against the United States, and that's been documented. I've seen pictures of him involved in the rally itself with long hair and the whole nine yards.
Well, he stated that he just was at the rally, but actually he was one of the organizers.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. He was one of the leaders.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, it doesn't surprise me from, you know, his activity in the White House so far. Chip, anything more you can talk about as far as possible satanic activity is concerned? In other words, you were never exposed to it as an agent.
No, none whatsoever.
Are you familiar with the Finders case in Washington, D.C.?
No.
The Finders case is the CIA covert operation that's been in existence since the early 1960s. And their specific job, and by the way, I have a U.S. Customs report on this, Chip. Their specific job is to kidnap children and the international trafficking of children. And did you ever run into anything like this when you were in the CIA?
No, and I would say that's probably not a covert operation that's sanctioned, but it's probably a black operation within the realm.
Black ops, in other words.
Right.
And Henry Hyde would probably be handling the finances for that also, wouldn't he?
That's the man.
Well, this is the most despicable thing I've ever read, and it talks about children in the finders who were exposed to satanic activity and satanic ceremonies and human sacrifices. And, of course, this ties back into a case that I've personally worked in out of Nebraska, the Franklin Cover-Up book. By the way, folks, that book, the Franklin Cover-Up, is available through my office. And I've urged you folks to call 702-650-5676 and obtain my flyer as to the amount of research and the material that is available to you. And so forth. Chip, what about this?
Hey, Ted, before you go, you got a John from Pennsylvania.
John, okay, John, are you on there?
Yes, sir.
John, how are you today?
I'm very good. I want to thank you guys for your efforts and your courage.
Okay, well, it's all part of the job as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, I'm kind of wondering, hadn't our forefathers in the Constitution instruct us when situations like this get to this point to told us that it's our responsibility to overthrow this this government like this and to replace it with a constitutional government? I'm wondering what the people can do to help with this situation, because it seems like our elected officials are so corrupt that there's no election ever in history that we've ever think of that could straighten this out, because the whole system is corrupt right from the lowest to the highest.
Well, many of our congressmen have been compromised with sex and drugs and are being blackmailed. Again, the Nebraska case that I personally worked, I've been on the street. I've talked to some of these kids who are involved in that case. Frank, the cover-up book is available, folks. You can call 702-650-5676.
So what would you say it would be the people's responsibility to do? What should it? Now, each person out here, should everybody own like a 1,000 rounds of ammunition and a gun like the Minutemen used to have?
That's a decision you have to make, John, but right now I think it's important that we educate as many people as possible. And that's what my goal is, educate, educate, educate. And I think that's the goal also of Jim Tatum.
And government reform, not government overthrow. Our government, the system set by our forefathers is a very fine system. We need to ensure that reform is in place. I'm not a proponent of people going out and getting 1,000 rounds of ammunition, because I know who they'd be up against, and you don't have a chance.
You don't have a chance.
I agree with you.
With their laser guns and all that.
But what's the solution? That's what I'm trying to ask.
What's
your opinion?
Right now, we have to take it in steps. And right now is educate, 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 get rid of the electronic voting machine, so we get the honest congressman in there and we can make a difference.
Get rid of the congressman through an election?
Beg your pardon?
Through an election.
Yes. Yeah. If they're installing these electronic voting machines around the country, they can be manipulated and they can be maneuvered. There's no paper trail, and they can elect anybody they like.
What happens if the voting machines are not replaced?
First of all, they are installed now around the country. We don't want them installed, so we got to get rid of them. Then we would have other forms of ballots that are on.
So every election is compromised that has one of those machines?
I think so, yes. They're being controlled. I can give you example after example. Las Vegas, New Orleans,
therefore
Maryland,
we have people like Adolf Hitler getting placed into power.
That's right. Well, worse than that. We already have the Hitlers in power, and we have several of them, I think, in Washington, D.C. Be back just a minute, folks. Educate, educate. Be careful, folks. Wake up, wake up.
Now, here's Ted.
And we have Kelly from Tennessee on the line.
Thanks, Ted. I wanted to answer that caller a few calls back that was questioning Chip as to what really was getting done here. I think the situation is, like you said, we need number one education. That's got to be it. And if people won't listen, you got to dust your sandals off and keep going, because that's all we've got really left is education. But, Chip, don't answer somebody that you were just taking orders, because that didn't wash in Nuremberg, and it won't wash in America with anybody that knows history. What I believe happened to you is the same thing that's happened to countless millions of Americans. They were fooled. They thought they were doing something good, and in the end, they found out when they got skewered that the people they were working for or the people they were giving to or the people that they thought were okay were really rotten apples.
Well, you know, Kelly, but that's not exactly true, and I'm speaking in my case and other intelligence officers. We find out sometime during our career what's really going on. However, from that time on, because we know what can happen to our families and to our friends if we walk away, we have to protect them too. So we can't just on the spot say no. We have to start building our insurance policy and then say
no.
Which is what Chip has done.
Yeah, so they ruled you by fear after you did find out what was going on.
But what goes around comes around. You know, we're good at what we do, but it just takes time to build our insurance.
Sure. Okay, keep going, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Kelly. Okay, Andrew from Virginia is on the line.
Answer this during today's show. I know we're getting close to the end. But I wanted to talk to Chip about the possibility of him describing his relationship with other U.S. intelligence agencies overseas. Having worked for one at one time, I realized that the CIA has a big part of it, but there's the Defense Intelligence Agencies and intelligence wings of the military, and even the FBI has a legal attaché operation, which is pretty much all over the world. What was your relationship with them, and how aware were you of what they do?
I worked for the Defense Intelligence Agency and also for the Air Force OSI on several occasions on several missions. On the side of the DIA, naturally as a member of the OSG, I was placed in a position to work for the DIA. They weren't really aware, our leadership in DIA, that I'm aware of what was going on, even to the level of what I already knew. On the military side, they're very restricted in what they know, and that's one of the problems we had is I couldn't work for military intelligence and central intelligence at the same time. It was a real conflict.
Well, let me ask you this, and I had some personal experience in this. Is it possible, I know it was happening at one time, that the FBI's legal attaché operation around the world, one of their functions is to verify CIA reports that go back to Washington?
You know, we would be very restrictive in what we would give the FBI because we didn't trust them.
Yeah.
We didn't, and the military intelligence was very restrictive in what they turned into the Central Intelligence Agency because they didn't trust them. You know, there's no trust between intelligence agencies, and that's a big problem.
So basically, don't we have possibly several independent intelligence operations going on worldwide, none of them trusting each other, and perhaps even on separate paths?
You got it. That's exactly what we have, and what a mishmash we have out there.
Okay, that answers my question. Thanks.
And it needs to be streamlined, doesn't it, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, and that's, you know, in 1983, that under National Security Decision Directive 3, that's where the Vice President, Mr. Bush, took over the responsibility of all U.S. intelligence.
Dad, look what's happened. Of course, I think that President Bush, Vice President in the early 80s, actually felt this was his baby and his operation, his personal operation. Okay, time to close the show, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Chip. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.
1-303-654-9924. And now, here's Ted.
And good morning to all you beautiful people across this great land of ours, the United States of America. It's great to be alive, and I love this country. We have to fight to keep it free. Yes, thank you for tuning in to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report. Okay, we have made a difference. Our Army has made a difference. The American Heritage River Initiative, they are considering extending the comment period. You will recall that we've been talking about this every hour on the hour for the last week. And the American Heritage River Initiative was designed to designate 10 chosen rivers by the fall of 1997, 10 more later, for the purpose of cleaning up these rivers. And designating, of course, is a vague and needs explanation. Designate is a question mark. But the 10 chosen rivers will be entitled to receive federal funding to clean up the chosen rivers. Any one person could request an application to save their river. And as you recall, the deadline period was over on June the 9th. That's today. There was just a two-week comment period. And the deal is not done on the 9th, however, but just the beginning. But still, we need the comments. Okay, now what's happened, I understand, through my source, one of my sources, is they are considering extending the deadline. However, Bill Clinton is very upset about this, and he's very upset about all the phone calls that have come in to the executive office of the president, Kathleen McGinty, and he's considering signing this bill today. Yes, that's what I understand, signing today. So today is a critical, critical day. We need to make some more phone calls today. I don't care if you called him five times every day last week. Call him again today. Okay, write your request and call. Okay, here's what you do.
request that the comment period be extended to 90 days. We request written material regarding the American Heritage River Initiative. Get the material, read it, and then you exercise your right as a citizen of the United States to express your voice in the affairs of this country, or forever keep your mouth shut and quit complaining about what the government is doing. Do not agree or consent quietly or without protest, okay? Now, write to the Executive Office of the President. In fact, since today's the deadline, you ought to send a fax or a telegram. Executive Office of the President, Kathleen McGinty, K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N-M-C-G-I-N-T-Y, Council on Environmental Quality, Washington, D.C., 20503, telephone 202-395-5750. Karen Hobbs, H-O-B-B-S, will take your request. Fax 202-456-2710. Attention, Kathleen McGinty. Call, write, fax, and email your state congressmen and senators. Request them to extend the comment period for the Federal Register notice. Now, if Bill Clinton signs this today, it'll be over and above our protest. But keep calling, writing, faxing, and email until something is done to stop this initiative. It's another candy-coated carrot of a land grab, folks. Come on, get on the ball. Call again today. I know you called last week. Call again today. We've got to keep Bill Clinton from signing this. He is threatening to sign the bill today. Okay, we have back today Mr. Chip Tatum. Hi, Chip.
Hi, Ted.
And, folks, I guess if you have never heard Chip before, you're in for a surprise. He's a Vietnam Special Forces Air Combat Controller, 25-year CIA deep cover agent, U.S. Army pilot flying classified missions during the U.S. invasion of Grenada, Iran Contra pilots flying cocaine shipments labeled as medical supplies, and a member of the ultra-secret international G7-run Pegasus hit team from sensitive, highly secretive Special Forces covert operations in Cambodia to wandering CIA assets through to black ops activities in an international hit team. Chip Tatum has seen it all, done it all, and is now telling it all. Welcome again, Chip, to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report.
Thanks, Ted. It's good to be here. By the way, I just heard your announcement on the American Heritage. Is it the Heritage?
Yes, American Heritage River Initiative.
Right. I also have another fax number that I'll dig through during one of the breaks and give it to you. It goes right into the Oval Office.
Oh, great. Great. Okay, folks. Let's tell Bill not to sign this bill today. Slippery Willie, do not sign this bill today. He's threatening to do that, I understand, from one of my sources. Chip, this is, I think, the sixth in the second series of interviews with you. The first series were six interviews. And we had quite a response, $49.95, folks, if you're interested in obtaining audio copies. In the second series, $49.95. This is today. We'll clean those to the second series. We're probably going to have a third series, Chip. Are you up to it?
I think I am. I may need a couple days rest.
Well, we'll give you some rest. I'll tell you, we'll start it in July, middle of July, because I'm booked on this show up until the middle of July.
That sounds good.
Okay. But the first series, folks, $49.95 audio copies. The second series, $49.95. Second series, six shows also, 11 hours, 12 hours. First series is $29.95. And if you want a transcript of the first, and call 1-800-205-6245. And Chip, your copies of this show will be in the mail today. That's the first series now.
Great.
Two series, folks. Okay, Chip, you have a good weekend.
Had a very good weekend. Had a very interesting weekend.
Okay, you want to tell us about it?
Well, I was able to post a report to our website that I think sheds a lot of light on what's going on in our United States today.
And what does that mean?
Well, it was concerning the Timothy McVeigh trial and who is working heavily behind the scenes in the Timothy McVeigh trial. You know, I wasn't surprised, and I don't think most of the Americans were, that Timothy McVeigh was found guilty. But the real question has been all along, who co-opted?
Right. Be back just a minute, folks. Time for a quick break. Wake up, America. Wake up. ¶¶ are back, and my guest today is Chip Tatum. Chip, you were talking about over the weekend you had some exciting events happen.
Sure did. Had an intelligence officer from Germany get in touch with me, one of the ex-bureau chiefs, actually last week, and he put out some news to me. It should be very eye-opening to the American public.
When you say ex-bureau chief, what bureau?
The BND.
And that's the German intelligence?
That's their German intelligence. That's the CIA of Germany.
Okay. And can you tell us about it?
Sure. You know, his message was real basic. And let me read the forward portion of what he had to say. He said, "You Americans are so naive. You don't understand that your Timothy McVeigh acted as he did and owns no remorse because he is a religious zealot. It is that simple. So very many of you ask how he could take so many lives. You are seeing for the first time that the rest of the world, what the rest of the world suffers on a daily basis. Terrorism has no conscience; it only has purpose."
Okay.
And I think that's a very important message for us in the United States to understand that terrorism is something that the rest of the world has seen for a very long time. It's up. I believe one of the ATF agents who was on TV the other day said that incidents are up 350% in the United States, but down worldwide. That tells me that there is an incident which are acts of retribution against something that has been done are up here.
Well, are you saying there's unrest among the population in regard to our federal government? Is that what you're thinking?
I'm saying that these acts of terrorism are acts of retribution against someone who has done something to someone else. If they're coming against the United States, I would suggest that the United States has done something to cause this, and that's the way terrorism works. Someone feels damaged,
right?
And this is an act of.
They're going to get even.
That's right. They're going to get even.
What else did your friend say?
Well, he said that he had intercepted in August of 1994. His bureau had intercepted 350 grams of weapons grade plutonium traveling from the Soviet Union through Germany on its way to the United States. It was bound for Ellicott City. It was bound for a double agent who is a German agent and a U.S. agent, Andreas Strassmeier.
Well, his name's come up before, hasn't
it? It has come up several times in several different investigations, so I think things need to be looked into here, especially since this new information has come forward.
Chip, you say 350 grams of weapons what?
Weapons-grade plutonium.
Weapons-grade plutonium. Now, what does that mean?
That plutonium is utilized as the primary material in nuclear weapons. 350 grams would be a equivalent to a small tactical nuclear weapon. We also had information concerning the rest of the mechanism that could be in place along our southern border in an embassy in Mexico. So there are some other ties. You know, the plutonium itself doesn't do anything unless you have an initiator and other components. But those other components are available in different third world countries, you said.
Well, did he say that other components were used or brought into the United States, or does he know?
For the bomb? He doesn't know. He knows of parts of the components that were sent into the. To an embassy in Mexico.
Does that be the Iranian embassy?
That would be the Iranian embassy.
That backs up Gary Gagan's story. You heard about Gary Gagan?
No.
Haven't?
No.
Well, that's interesting. Gary Gagan claims he was an informant for the FBI. He filed a lawsuit in Denver, Colorado, and he claims that he transported a detonator for a bomb from the Iranian embassy in Mexico City to Stapleton.
No, I haven't heard that at all.
That ties in, then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, when you're talking about 350 grams of weapons-grade plutonium, and that's used for nuclear weapons, what, would they use that in an ammonium nitrate bomb? Of course not.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think that ammonium nitrate bomb was a secondary or even a diversionary. You know, it's hard for me to believe that they could arrest a man within hours, literally within hours of this bombing, on such a huge terrorist incident. And in Atlanta right now, the FBI and the ATF is saying, hey, we have two bombings over here. We don't have a clue on who's doing this. Yet they already had the name of the man who did the Oklahoma City bombing. They had it in hand.
Yes, Strassmeyer. That's right. And Strassmeyer has been identified by others with Carol House as Strassmeyer was involved. Carol, you're familiar with Carol House?
I've heard the name only because of media coverage lately. Yeah.
Okay, Carol House was an informer for BATF for 2 years. She was in Helham City, Oklahoma, as an undercover. Told them that there were one of three buildings going to be bombed on April the 19th, 1995. One of two in Tulsa and or the Murray building in Oklahoma City. She identified Strassmeyer and also says identified John Doe too, basically. And I think that that would be Brescia was the individual she identified as John Doe to Michael Brescia. And so that all this all fits together, Jeff.
It's amazing. And one other thing that my friend says, Colin Connie, he simply stated that he ended up having to resign over this because when his bureau intercepted this plutonium, Chancellor Kohl, the Chancellor of Germany, raised such a ruckus because of his good friend and confidant, Gunther Strassmeyer.
Okay, be right back, Jeff.
Here's Ted.
My guest today is 25-year CIA cover agent Chip Tatum. Chip, when was this 350 grams of weapons-grade plutonium delivered to the United States?
It wasn't. It was intercepted in Germany and didn't come forward. That was in August of 1994, 6 months, 7 months before the bombing. If one were to speculate, one could say that was one of the original intentions was to use that, and that when Strassmeyer heard it was intercepted in August, he went through the ceiling.
And?
Understanding that it wasn't going to make it to him.
August 94. Okay, so they could have used a diversionary plan and obtained some plutonium from some of the source, you think?
I don't think plutonium was used in any bombing there. That's my own feeling. I believe that plutonium was the original intent, from what I see in this intelligence report. And I think that they had to take up a backup plan, which was a bomb on the exterior and several inside, according to General Parton.
Uh-huh. Are you familiar with my theory of the electrohydrodynamic gas fuel device?
No.
Okay. I've been threatening to get that to you. I'll have to get that report to you. My Oklahoma City report, by the way, and I'll get that mail to you in a day or so. But this is a bomb that's manufactured by China Nobel out of Salt Lake City. And I call it the barometric bomb. It was developed in the early 1980s, highly classified, extremely potent. And it's developed by the Hercules manufacturing out of Silicon Valley. I wrote after the bombing to the McKinney Arsenal in New Jersey, asked them for the contract. Because I did have the contract number, by the way. I do have it, still have it, of course. And they wrote back and said there's no such contract. I think that the electrohydrodynamic gas, the steel device, or the barometric bomb, was the bomb that was on the outside of the truck. Extremely, extremely powerful. I wasn't even miles away when it was, when I say the first explosion, when they experimented with it, and there were two technicians who were killed. It was so powerful they underestimated its power. So I'll get that to you and you take a look at it, Chip. Particularly your back. Do you consider yourself an explosives expert?
I don't know how to build them, but I can sure blow them up.
Well, okay. Any other information from your friend in Germany?
Basically, for now, he did say that when he's in a position, he'll send me something else. So we can look forward to receiving more. You know, we have Project Integrity underway, and that's how he contacted me and pulled this forward. And I think that we'll see something very interesting as time goes on.
Now, Project Integrity is your website?
Project Integrity is a portion of our website that allows the intelligence officers, law enforcement officers, government officials, the opportunity to come forward completely anonymously, and bring information to us to investigate and put forward if we find that it is credible information.
Excellent. And do you want to give out your website and how to order your Sure.
Chronicles? The Chronicles are available at 1-800-201-7892. 800-201-7892, extension 58. Our website address is all small letters, http://members, M-E-M-B-E-R-S, /shiptatum, C-H-I-P-T-H-E-U-M, all one word. So that's http://members.aol.com/shiptatum. This report and more information that I was able to provide is available on the website called Timothy McVeigh, Guilty, Are You Surprised? I think it's a pretty good article, and it has some information that I was able to gain when I was in prison. Some very interesting information, especially from the Inglewood prison.
In Colorado.
In Colorado, that's
right. There are a lot of Colorado folks listening to the show, by the way. Do you want to share that with us also?
I certainly will. While I was...
Getting ready to go into break right now, Chip.
Okay.
So maybe we can, just before we go into break, we have about 30 seconds. You were in Inglewood yourself, right? You set this up, right?
I was in Inglewood. I was arrested May 11th, 1995, and held in Inglewood. And I'll tell you what I found when I was in Inglewood.
Okay. And then how long were you in Inglewood?
I was held there until October, and then I was transferred to Tampa, Florida for the treason charges.
All right, folks, time for a short break. We'll be right back in a few minutes. Wake up, America. Wake up. And we are back. And my guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA cover agent. Chip, before we go on with your experience in Inglewood, let me remind you folks in Las Vegas that this 14th and 15th, this coming weekend, there is a seminar by the Erwin Rommel Global School of Law, and this law will teach you how to or defend yourself. These folks have 23 years experience, and if you're interested, call 702-650-5676. Represent yourself in court. Okay, back to you. What happened in Inglewood, Colorado?
Well, when I was arrested in May of 1995, I went through a section at Inglewood Jail called R&D, receiving and discharge. In the R&D section, within weeks of me arriving there, they started tearing apart the two of the cells in R&D, building them into high security cells. They were putting plumbing in, putting beds in. This was all inmate labor. It was doing this. I asked one of the guards what's going on, and they said they're moving the bombing victims, or the bombing Oklahoma City bombers to Inglewood, and they're going to be tried in Colorado. Now, this was in about April, and they didn't even announce it until a number of months later that they would be moved there and be tried there. There was a lot of hoopla in the news about where they would be tried, and let's try a different location in Oklahoma and all this. Yet all the time, the government knew that they were bringing them there. But beyond that, the plans for this and the orders to do this renovation, to make these two holding cells, high security holding cells, were ordered 3 weeks before the bombing.
Wow, that's heavy. And where did you learn this?
I was there. I asked the correctional officers how long they've been planning to build those things. You know, being in construction, you know, I know it takes some time to order. I was raised as a contracting family, so I know it took time to get permits, to get equipment, supplies ordered, and so forth, and especially through the government system.
Okay.
For local purchases.
Yes. So, the guards actually told you that the plans were ordered 3 weeks prior to the bombing?
That's what they actually told me.
You know the names of these guards?
I have the name of three of the guards. I don't want to put them out.
Oh.
I don't like to do that to them.
No, of course not. I'm just wondering if you had them, though.
Yes, I do.
Okay, good work, Chip. I guess they better learn not to put you in prison anymore, shouldn't they? It's costing them dearly. And they better learn not to mess with your wife, either.
That's the key right there, Ted. You know, they throw me in prison, that's one thing. But when they mess with my wife, they're messing with the wrong person.
Anything more you'd like to mention about Oklahoma City bombing? You there, Chip?
I'm here.
Yeah, anything more you'd like to mention about Oklahoma City bombing?
I think that's about it. I think it's interesting. When I was moved to another area, I I met a man who was the last man to see David Koresh alive, and some information that he gave me. I don't know that this is the time to get into that, but it's very interesting what he had to say and what information he brought forward to me. It's also very interesting that he was held in Oklahoma City in the cell next to Timothy McVeigh.
Did you have any comments to make about Timothy McVeigh?
Basically, he told me that McVeigh was an avenging angel for the Branch Davidians. This man, Reno Sopram, was the man who now carries the mantle of the Messiahship, as the Davidians call it. They call him the Elisha Messenger, the Latter-day Messiah. Koresh called himself the Messiah. What he said was, Koresh recruited Timothy McVeigh as an avenging angel. So that makes sense when you look at that and look at Timothy McVeigh's demeanor as he sits in trial. He acts his greater-than-thou attitude as he sits and watches this. He has something that he knows that keeps him in that posture. And it is Sabram's position that he is a Davidian. He has avenged the deaths of those who were killed in Waco, and that he will live forever now at the right hand of the Messiah.
Okay, you got a caller, Steve, from Texas.
Okay, Steve, are you there?
Yeah, it's actually Nevada.
Steve from Nevada, okay.
Yeah, I didn't say Texas yet.
Right.
We have an anomaly here, because it's going to take me a while to catch up with you, but you spoke about Carol Howe earlier.
Right.
We would know absolutely nothing about Carol Howe if it weren't from the writings of J.D. Cash. All press reports leak back to J.D. Cash.
Right.
So if he's a bad guy, how come all of a sudden now that Carol Howe is so big, we're accepting of information about Carol Howe with nary a word about the source, J.D. Cash?
I've never said anything bad about J.D. Cash. The only thing I've said is that Harry Gagin has named him as, I believe, an FBI informant in his lawsuit in Denver, which is on the record. But the information about Carol Howe originally was written in a small town newspaper in Oklahoma, and it was confirmed by the ATF.
Because that article was written by J.D. Cash. I talked to the editor of that paper. It's called the McCurtain Daily Gazette. McCurtain is spelled M-C-C-U-R-T-A-I-N, and it's a county, McCurtain County. The county seat is... Oh, dear, I forgot the name of the county seat. But anyhow, I talked to the editor of that paper today, and he said he does not have a website, and he wasn't aware of the website I was given, but I found some of his articles. Would you like the site?
Yes.
Okay, it's www. And for a while, we're going to go in small case letters here. V-I-P-E-R hyphen I-N-T .com/... uppercase letters, O-K-E-T-H-Y-A-N .. Now we move to lowercase letters again for H-T-M. Another way to find it is just Yahoo, and within quotation marks, lowercase letters, J period, D period, space, cash, spelled with a C, and then it closes, of course, those in closing quotation marks. You wind up with the same thing, but you have to hunt for it a little bit the other way.
Okay, very good, Steve. Any questions you'd like to ask Chip Tatum?
Well, not today. Just we need to see you live, sir.
Well, he's doing very well so far, and I think he has a real good insurance policy, don't you?
I didn't mean that. I don't want to see anybody dead, but I mean we just need to see him live.
You mean in person?
In person.
Well, I think you'll be getting out of those 11 counties one of these days, Chip, and be able to make sure the United States wins.
Well, we need you, Ted, to go where he's at and put your little paw right on him.
Well, I'm going to do everything I can. By the way, there is speaking of that, Steve, we have an exposition June the 13th, 14th, and 15th, Central Florida Fairground in Orlando, Florida, this coming weekend. Chip and I will be lecturing Saturday morning at 11 o'clock.
You are going to meet then?
Yes.
Terrific.
Yes.
Love you, Dad.
All right. Thank you, Steve. We love you, too. Okay, Chip, did you get that information down about the website?
Yeah, I got it. Apparently, Steve doesn't think I exist.
Okay, all right, time for a quick break, folks. Wake up, America. Wake up. And we're back, and my guest today is Chip Lim, 25 years CIA chief cover agent. Chip, are there any more comments you'd like to make about Oklahoma City, Inglewood, so forth?
I don't think so. I think that pretty well sets it. The fact that Reno Sovram speaks emphatically that Timothy McVeigh was the Branch Davidian, and there are more avenging angels than McVeigh, he wasn't the only one.
Right. Well, let's hope that there aren't too many more of them out there, and we don't want any more bombing. If Timothy McVeigh is guilty. But the problem with Timothy McVeigh is he did not have a fair trial. I don't care what you say, and everybody in this country deserves a fair trial.
And that's true. He needed to be able to bring his defense out.
That's right, and there were so many shortcuts taken, and there were so many problems with the case itself and with the defense itself, very obviously, because the Linda Sanders reports on the second hour from Denver, and, you know, I was really disappointed with what's happened there. Chip, what about the World Trade Center bombing?
Know nothing about it, Ted.
Know nothing about it, huh?
Nothing whatsoever.
Okay, you can't tie that into any of your activity in the past?
No.
Chip, one of the programs we had earlier said that your meetings of your intelligence groups with international agents from all over the world, the British, the Turks, Argentinians, and so forth, within 2 weeks after the Bilderbergers met, you would meet, and you made the statement that if you were behind in your schedule, that you would take your steps to try to catch up. Can you explain that further?
Well, we would accelerate the schedule if certain countries weren't lining properly, if certain financiers weren't working well with our emissaries, it would be time to take a positive step via neutralization, either blackmail them or otherwise. That was the stepped up position. That was how we stepped up the timetable, and that's how it's continued to be stepped up today.
Well, you mentioned also in one of your shows, I think, you know, there were 60 nations that were under consideration. Was that the right figure?
Well, actually, it was a hit list.
Okay.
These are the countries that something needs to be done with to bring them into alignment.
Yes. And into alignment, meaning the one world government, new world order.
That's exactly right.
And have you ever failed?
We had never failed bringing one country into alignment or one person. If we couldn't get that person to align, they were taken out.
And
a new person was placed in.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
They were taken out, and a new person who we were comfortable with was positioned to take that take the place of that person.
Place in control.
That's right.
What about the situation in England where the Labour government is now coming? Does that mean anything to you?
I think it's very, very interesting that you have that group coming in. Sure is a fan of our president, isn't he?
Yes, he certainly is. Now, the Majors, I thought Prime Minister Majors was quite cooperative with the New World Order at the same time, though. Didn't you?
I believe he was. I believe that there is some concern on their part on use of British intelligence, and they needed a new party to control that.
And you think they were having trouble with British intelligence up until then, until the Labour Party came in?
I think they're having trouble with any professional intelligence network and what they're asking them to do, yes.
So people like you on the inside are getting fed up with it, is that what you're saying?
That's right, and on the inside in our CIA right now, there are wars going on.
I've heard that for some time, Chip. I heard that there's the fact that the CIA, the old-timers who were active in the past and are still in, I sat with a CIA agent here about a year or so ago, basically planning. He said, you know, for a long time I thought I was solving the problem. All of a sudden I woke up and I realized that was the problem. And he told me that there are two factions, as I said, old-timers who think that what's going on now is, you know, inexcusable, did not take place, and there's the young bucks who are gung-ho, ready to go forward at all costs. Is that true?
And that's very true. And one interesting fact is here we have a president who went to Oxford University, and from there, 3 years of his life are absolutely missing. And even the Secret Service admits to the fact that they don't have records on 3 years of this president's life.
But he did not graduate from there, did he?
Not graduate from Oxford, that's correct.
Did he graduate from Oxford?
No.
I didn't think so.
No. And that was direct from Secret Service, from staff, presidential staff.
Well, you know, now, what's wrong with ABC, NBC, and CBS? I mean, why aren't they telling us this?
Oh, come on, Ted.
I know, it's a silly question, isn't it? I was watching the news the other night, and they talked about the Kofor syndrome and how the children of the parents who did not go to Kofor are no different in their illnesses and their problems health-wise than the children of the soldiers who did go to Kofor. You know, there's so many statistics, and Joyce Riley has so much information about this. It's just absolutely totally disgusting. Outright lies, as far as I'm concerned.
Even the government has the statistics that don't qualify those statements on the government website. It's a government website sitting out there. So, you know, yes, it's a lie. And, you know, but what you have to understand is major media is dictated by their advertisers. Their advertisers are corporate America, and corporate America is the Bilderbergers and the rest. So
that's right. Chip, throughout all our conversations, this is the second series, we haven't really picked on TEA too much. You mentioned them. We really haven't gone into TEA. You want to talk about TEA a little bit, about how well entrenched they are in this picture?
Well, I don't. My dealings with DEA were very restricted, simply because when the agency would go into an area, the first thing we'd do is get rid of the DEA. We didn't want any conflict if there were any, especially like, let's take Honduras as a prime example. In 1983, we kicked the DEA out of Honduras, made them work out of El Salvador or other areas. The man who was running business down there through the NFC, Oliver North, did not want DEA involved in anything. They were interfering with his operation.
Well, yeah, DEA could conceivably come along and find out what was going on, and
they want a piece of the action.
So you'll probably get a piece of the action or expose them.
I think the dirtiest of the government agencies, to be honest, when it comes to the drug interdiction system is the U.S. Customs system.
Right, okay. We've laid off of them. So, okay, so, folks, time for a quick break. Wake up, America. Wake up.
Oh, here's Dad.
And we're back. My guest today is 25-year CIA discovery, Chip Tatum. Chip, we have about 4 minutes. Is there anything you'd like to comment on before we go into the top of the hour and into the next hour of the next show?
Well, I had promised you a fax number for your people to get directly in if they needed that. I have that for you if you'd like it.
Please.
It's 202-456-2461. That's the fax that is supplied directly to the President and the First Lady.
Okay. Okay, all you folks, let's send faxes in. Talk to them about the American Heritage River Initiative and tell them we don't want him to sign that, and we need to extend the comment period to 90 days, not 2 weeks, but to 90 days. Count on all you folks making a difference. And I understand we have made a difference, this little campaign we've had here. Where did you get to come up with that number? Are you using that yourself, Chip?
Over the years, Ted, over the years.
Why, yeah, that? Okay, Chip, we have this second series. We're wrapping that up today. You folks, it's $49.95. The first series is $49.95. It's more than a $100 value for your copy, audio copy of this show, first, second, and second series, 800-205-6245, for a transcript of the first show at $29.95, and also I'm sure we'll be having a transcript of the second show. Chip, we never did get into some of the other aspects of possibilities of Satanism and how it might relate to the agency and some of the intergovernment activity. We'll discuss that on the next hour. For those of you who do not have access to the second hour of the show, better buy yourself a shortwave, call 800-205-6245. And Chip, I'm happy to announce that we're over $1,800 has been donated toward my campaign to write all these former FBI agents.
Great, and we're almost halfway there then.
We're almost halfway there. We need about $4,000. With this $1,800, we're going to send out some letters, you know, up maybe about, L or M, as best we can, depending on how expensive they are. So, you folks, I need your help. Send me some money, a donation, to Ted Gunderson, Post Office Box 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109, and in the lower left-hand corner of your check, be sure to write FBI Project. Chip, anything more you'd like to talk about as far as Oklahoma City is concerned, or McVay, do you think there's a possibility he's involved in a mind control program, MKUltra?
Well, I think that it's important for people to understand that a religious zealot needs constant feeding to keep that posture. And, you know, that feeding isn't possible from behind the wall in prison. So somehow he had to be fed.
to keep him in the posture that he is in today. And I think that's important for people to understand. You may have some information on that, Ted.
Yes, Jolly West, I understand, has visited him in jail. Jolly West is the head psychiatrist at UCLA and is one of the foremost mind control experts in the world. Has traveled all over the world to talk to cult victims and cult members. Chip, we are getting ready to go into the closing of this show. And why don't you give out your name and address again one more time so folks can contact you and get your Tatum Chronicles.
Sure, folks. The Tatum Chronicles are available at 1-800-201-7892. 800-201-7892, extension 58. Website is http://members.aol.com/Chip Tatum, all lowercase. If you want to just email me, it's chiptatum@aol.com.
Okay, Chip, we'll go to the next hour. Thanks, folks, for tuning in. See you in the next hour or tomorrow, whatever the case might be.
You've been listening. Welcome to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report with former FBI Chief Ted L. Gunderson. To join in on the conversation with Ted, call 1-970-587-5171. Or in the Denver metropolitan area, it's 1-303-654-9924. And now, here's Ted.
And good day to all you beautiful people across this great land of ours, to our friends up in Canada and down in Mexico, Central South America, Africa, Europe, and Asia. Welcome to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report. And we have another exciting show for you today. We have Chip Tatum back. And I'll tell you what, this guy is something. He is fantastic. I'm one of his biggest fans. And I'm sure you are now from having listened to him for, believe it or not, we're into our 12th show of interviews with Chip Tatum. But before I get to Chip, let me talk about the American Heritage River Initiative. This was the deadline for you folks to call for the extending the comment period. The president gave us 2 weeks for a comment period. As a result of our campaign over the last week or so, every hour on the hour, we've talked about the American Heritage River Initiative. This is an initiative to designate 10 chosen rivers by the fall of 97, 10 more later, where the government will take over control of the property on both sides. And the comment period is up today. Okay, the word that I have is that President Clinton is so upset about the inquiries that he's been receiving, or that have been received at the Executive Office of the President, Council on Environmental Quality, he's thinking about signing the bill today and getting it out and not having any more extension of the comment period. So we need to write right away and write and call, request an extension of the comment period, request written material regarding the American Heritage River Initiative. Upon receiving it, read it, then proceed, exercise your rights as a citizen, or keep your mouth shut, quit complaining about the government. Right to the Executive Office of the President. Well, since this is the last day, you better send a telegram. Executive Office of the President, Kathleen McGinty, M-C-G-I-N-T-Y, Council on Environmental Quality, Washington, D.C., 20503, telephone 202-395-5750, Dr. Karen Hobbs, H-O-E-B-S, fax 202-456-2710. Attention, Kathleen McGinty, M-C-G-I-N-T-Y. And then Chip Tatum on the last hour came up with the White House fax number to Bill and Hillary. And so send them a fax and tell them that we want the comment period extended to 90 days on the American Heritage River Initiative. And that number is 202-456-2461. Directly into the White House. Call, write, fax, email your state congressmen and your senators and request them to seek an extension of the comment period for the Federal Register notice. Request them for their interpretation and position of the American River Heritage Initiative. Keep calling, writing, faxing, and emailing until something is done to stop this initiative. It's just another candy-coated carrot of a land grab, folks. Come on, get on the ball. Let's go. Okay, Chip, are you there?
I'm here, Ted.
Chip, we have a A caller on the line. Dean from Colorado. Hi, Dean.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you doing?
Wonderful.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
I heard on the radio some disturbing things too about hate and baby. Jesse Johnson was on CNN and said that it's really good and patriots and change. And so we're going to have this every time we talk about this. We also have a president now who is stating that he's going to sign this, or wants to anyway, despite what we the people say, so he's not following the Constitution.
So about the American Heritage River and
right.
Did you, let me ask you something. Did you pick that up also over the weekend?
Yes.
Where did you hear that?
What?
Where did you hear about the American Heritage River?
I didn't hear it on the news.
You got it through one of your sources?
Right. Several. I tell you what, though, it is we the people feel the Constitution, and we can still do something, I believe. And so I think that what people might want to do is contact the House, talk to Bob Barr.
The House and Butch House, the
House of Representatives. House of Representatives, talk to Bob Barr's office, talk to Henry Hyde's office, and ask to when he's ready to they've had over 4,000 calls come in about that issue. And also in a minute,
Wait, the 4,000 calls come in over the impeachment of Clinton?
Right.
Now, Bob Barr is, Bill Barr was the former Attorney General. Any
right,
relation?
That was Bill Barr, and I would like to know that. Is there any relation between Bob Barr or Bill Barr?
Yep, we talked about that one.